Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 178, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to pick something up through that link, it gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. With me is not my normal co-host, since he's in North Carolina, I believe. With me is Ryan, who's been on here a few times. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. What's going on, Bob?
It's late. This is like a late in the week podcast.
It is late in the week.
For one.
Thursday night.
Yeah, it's Thursday evening, so most of you guys won't hear this till Friday. But I would say this is like the kind of pre-Computex.
Definitely.
Yeah, so let's talk about reviews and other stuff we posted on the site, and then what do you want to do? Computex predictions, I would say. Let's do that. So we'll start off with our reviews this week, and we only have one review, but it is a really cool case. It's a really cool product. It is Corsair's Crystal Series 680X RGB. This is the big brother to the 280X, which they released last year and we reviewed. And basically, they've made that case, which was a micro ATX case, into a full tower, more or less. It supports EATX motherboards. It comes with three RGB fans. It, of course, has those three tempered glass panels. They have made some adjustments to the side panel as well. And I think that it's, you know, I was super excited about it, but it's kind of like, at the end of the day, it's sort of a mixed bag for me. It honestly is.
I really like the look of this case.
I like the look of this case. I like how this really shows off your build. So for those who aren't familiar, this is, it's not your typical tower case. It's two compartments where the compartment that holds your motherboard, graphics card, and all that is kind of wider. And then there's a separate compartment that's not shown at all that houses your storage and your power supply. So basically, you have one big compartment that's meant to show off the inside of your computer. I feel there's a lot of wasted space in this case.
Yeah, it's not quite a cube shape, right? It's really wide, and not technically really that tall, because you don't have a power supply above or below the motherboard and all your other components. But you know, it's squat looking, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it looks like there's a ton of room there.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of room inside. So, you know, you can fit graphics cards up to 330 millimeters. You can fit, as I said, EATX motherboards, full 8 expansion slots in there. On the front, you can do 360 millimeter rad. I believe you can do the same on the top. Lots of room, room for up to 7 hard drives. Although I feel that you could probably, if they would have tooled the rear of the case better, or made it so you could buy more hard drive cages or something like that, you could fit a whole hell of a lot more hard drives back there. So
there's a lot of unused space.
Yeah, I feel that's just kind of like lazy, in my opinion. Like, you don't have to supply me with all the hard drive cages, but I should be able to do a lot more back there than what's there. You know, but I do like it. Like I said, it comes with the three RGB fans, which is the big seller, you know, tempered glass and RGB. It comes with the Node Pro and the RGB hub. So the RGB hub allows you to plug in 6 Corsair RGB fans into it. And then that goes into the Node Pro, which has a internal USB header, which allows you to control the fans via IQ. Now, the three fans plus the Node Pro by themselves are $109.
And that's a pretty good value, right? Like, when you think about the price and all you're getting.
Kind of. I think that it's on par. I wouldn't say it's a massive value, because the case that I really compare this to, which has almost the same design, very similar, is the Lianli PC011 Dynamic, which I believe is $159 without any...
$139 without fans.
Yeah, $139 without fans. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say this case is a massive value. I think that it's good. I like it. I think it's a really awesome case. I think it looks really great. I think that if you are in the Corsair ecosystem or want to be, right? Like, you're going to buy a Corsair AIO, or you're going to add more Corsair fans, or you're going to add Corsair RGB strips, whatever the case may be. If you want to get into the Corsair ecosystem, this makes sense, right? Because you don't need to buy another Node Pro. You don't need to worry about an RGB hub. It all comes with a case. You're ready to go out of the box. You know, and if you are going to get into the Corsair ecosystem, all of this stuff is controlled by IQ, so you don't have to worry about it. The only thing that's kind of funny is that Corsair does call this a high airflow case, and by no means is it high airflow. So the front tempered glass panel is set off from the front of the case a little bit. So there is intake from the side and the bottom a little bit, but it's not high airflow.
I definitely wouldn't call it high airflow by any means, but there's a decent size gap, it looks like, on the top, maybe for some exhaust, but I think you're gonna have some trouble on the intake side of things.
But I like I said, I like what Corsair has put together. I just feel that, you know, just like, you're paying, this is $249, it's $250 case, so it's pretty on the high end when it comes to cases. Like, yeah. I said, you are getting three RGB fans and the controller and all that stuff, which, you know, like I said, is $100 by itself. But if I feel like I'm paying $250, like, the SSD trays are plastic. The other compartment just feels like it's put together kind of, I don't know, not cheaply, but it's just like no thought went into it.
Nothing spectacular, I'd say. But looks good.
Yeah, so like I said, I think this is an awesome case if you want to do a build where you're really showing off your system, especially, you know, like an ATX or extended ATX or XLATX, you know, big system, multiple graphics cards. You do have room for a ton of cooling. It is going to look awesome. But I just think Corsair could have really knocked this out of the park by just doing a few other things. But I think the price is fair. I don't think it's overpriced by any means. But I don't think it's a massive value by any means either. So it's kind of right in the middle there. And like I said, if you are getting into the Corsair ecosystem, this is the perfect thing to do that with because it's all ready to go. And I do want to mention that the RGB stuff is pre-wired, so you don't have to do anything. We reviewed the Fractal Design Define S2 Vision RGB, which also came with three RGB fans, which none of the fans, the RGB elements, were wired to anything. So you kind of had to figure that out yourself. Whereas this, you do have to run the power for these fans yourself, but the RGB stuff is already ready to go. All you have to do is plug it into your motherboard.
That's helpful. Yeah. And like, speaking of cables, it looks like there's a ton of cable management options.
Yeah, I believe there,
like on that motherboard tray, all those rubber grommets, you know, there, yeah, to so run the cables through.
I believe there's almost 10 cable routing holes around the motherboard tray, yeah. Which is a lot. So you could really, like, it would be so hard to build like an unorganized build with this, because you just, everything's in that back compartment, you hide everything, and the front of your system with the system, you know, the part that you want to show off, is completely clean. I mean, you would have to really just be super lazy to not have a clean build here. So definitely check out the review. Like I said, I like it. It's just Corsair could have really knocked this out of the park, and I just don't feel like they did with this. That brings us to Case Mod Friday, of course, where we feature a builder mod that's been completed in the community. And this week, and probably in the next month and a half or longer, we are going to be doing the Computex builds. So the first one we picked out was by our friends at GGF. They're doing like 6 or 7 Computex builds, and I've seen most of them. They're amazing. But this is the first one that we're featuring. It's the build they're doing for Seasonic. And we've seen a lot of these cases that we've never seen before by water cooling companies. A couple weeks ago, we saw one from Barrow. This one is from
Bixky. I think it's Bixky.
They're mainly Chinese brand from what I know, so we don't see a lot of their products. But this case looks like pretty awesome.
It's pretty crazy, and I'm just actually noticing. I was looking at the pictures earlier, and I don't know how I missed it, but that whole, I don't know if it's glass or plastic panel that kind of sits in front of it.
Yeah,
that's maybe there in some of the pictures but not in the others. It's cool.
Yeah, too. it's an open air design. I don't even know if you want to call it a case. It's like a chassis. It's just like the typical GGF that we're seeing. Really just great colors. It's a white and blue themed build. You have hard tubing there. This is a really awesome build too. It has the Auris Waterforce Z390 Waterforce board, which has the built-in blocks on it. It looks awesome. But yeah, it's just really just like, I love the builds from Computex because they're usually just more like they just take it to another level compared to the CES.
Yeah, there's
ones.
So much time and effort put into them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this thing looks flawless. Their color matching is great. Everything just looks amazing on this.
Yeah, it looks really good. Shout out to GGF. We'll definitely be featuring at least one or two more of theirs from Computex because, like I said, they are that good. So definitely stay tuned for that. And we have the video, like their build video, embedded on the post. So definitely check that out as well. And talking about video, our video for this week is of the Noctua NH-U12A. If you listen to last week's podcast, we put out our written review, but now we followed it up with a video. And just like the video title says, it's basically the best air cooler of 2019, at least so far. It's $100, which is pretty high for a air cooler, but it's the best performing air cooler, super easy to install, and you don't lose anything. So when it comes to air coolers and super high performance, you end up losing something, whether it's super loud or it just takes up so much space that it's super convenient,
right,
or that installation is just a pain in the ass. And yeah. So you don't lose any of, none of that happens with this. It's like the best cooler. It's just awesome. So definitely check out our video. You can see more in detail.
How's the sound on it? I mean, Noctua's fans are typically pretty quiet.
And this has their new fans, which are the NF. I forget what they're called. They're the brand new fans. They just came out.
It's the NFA 12x25,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what they are. Yeah. These new fans are so quiet, and they perform even better than the previous generation too. So you're getting better performance, quieter, which is awesome. Sure. So just an awesome cooler. So definitely check out that video. We will get into news, but let's just talk about Computex. It's next week.
I'm excited. I keep seeing all these social media posts about people getting ready to travel or on their way. And I have, it's kind of been in the back of my mind and I haven't really paid a ton of attention, but now I'm like really getting amped up for it.
Yeah. I think the big thing is this is an AMD show. This is, this is AMD show to, I honestly think the big thing will be Ryzen 3000 series. I don't think a lot of people are saying that there will be a Navi like launch or like a real deep dive on it. I don't know.
You think they're gonna hold off?
I think they'll show it and be like, check out more at E3.
Yeah,
because they did launch, was it Vega at E3?
Ooh, possibly. I remember when that was announced.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. At least I think it was when they announced it at E3, and I think that E3 is the gamer show, whereas Computex is more like enthusiast PC, like really hardware focused.
Yep.
I think they'll talk about it, and I think they'll maybe show it, but we won't get the details that we want, like release date, the specs and stuff like that. Like I think we'll get that at E3, but I could be completely wrong and they'll show both, but you would think that these are two very important products for them. Why would you launch both at the same show? Like,
yeah, don't steal the thunder from either one of them, right? I don't know. Yeah, I think Ryzen, like you said, is going to be the main star of Computex.
Yeah, and then besides that, I don't think we'll see much on the Nvidia side. I don't think we'll see much on the Intel side. But I am super excited because of the Ryzen 3000 announcement. We will, I would say, 100% see all new X570 boards from everybody, and I'm a motherboard guy, so I'm super excited to see all of those. Also, you know, it's always interesting to see what Case Inwin does at Computex.
Yeah, that's right. This is when they kind of show off that latest case. I wasn't a big fan of last year's kind of that, I don't know, twisted metal.
Yeah, open I think that was like a piece form. It just wasn't my favorite. Yeah. I think that you know, the first few years that they did it, it was like, wow, this is awesome. But then it's like they kind of ran out of ideas.
What do we do now?
Yeah. So it would be interesting to see what they do this year. Hopefully they kind of bring it more like back into like the earlier ones. Yeah, new cases, like everybody's going to have new products. I'm really excited for it. I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about specifically Computex wise.
No, not really. Just super excited to see what comes out of there.
Yeah, I'm super excited. So we'll jump into news. And this week, AMD had their annual shareholders meeting. And the big question we saw on a lot of the AMD roadmaps was that the second gen or third gen Threadripper was off the list, and they basically confirmed that everything will be there now, including third gen Ryzen, Navi will be in Q3, second gen Epic, and the Radeon Instinct is available now. So I think that like this is the year for AMD. If they can get Navi right, I think this is their year to really push everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's their year to like either make it or not necessarily break it, but you know, Vega wasn't super strong, right, in their performance. So I'm really hoping for them and competition wise that they get it right this time around.
Yeah, I think that Ryzen's amazing. I think they have that down pat. So I think that if they can get Navi, you know, where we're not going to get that high performance part, we know that, but if they can, you know, which we'll talk about in a couple next stories, if they can get that price point correct with performance and offer something that undercuts Nvidia a little bit, they're going to gain some of that market share back. And I think that's all they need right now up until the next generation, which will be next year. So I'm excited to see, you know, what all they have coming in Q3. That's when everything is supposed to be available. You know, so I'm really excited for that. So it's just, like I said, everything we'll hear about at Computex. But talking about Navi, Sapphire, which is AMD's number one graphics card supplier or add-in board partner, they kind of spilled the beans on what AMD's doing for Navi. They said that there will be two price points, $499, which will be like an XT card, and then $399, which will be a pro card, which will be a cut down version of the XT card. And these price points are mid range. And I think that that's where AMD kind of wants to sit with Navi, at least to start.
Yep.
And these two will be specifically going after the GTX 2070 and GTX 2060. When the rep was talking, he said, when we were talking about performance, he said stronger than 2070. So if you're going to get better performance at a 2070 for $499, when most 2070s are selling for over that, I think that would be good for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then $399 to beat out a 2060. You know, I think that if the XT card performs better than a 2070, we would see the pro card perform between a 2060 and 2070, because it's a $100 difference. You know, I really hope that that mid range card will be kind of, you know, what kind of brings AMD back to being relevant again, you know?
Sure. Yeah, and it's we say mid range in these prices.
Yeah.
It's still surprising to me just that this price point is the mid range. But I mean, I think people are ready for a card at this price and hopefully at this performance.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The rep also said that Navi will not have any ray tracing hardware, but there will be ray tracing on the next generation. They also said they were talking about Vega and asked if Vega would be like there'd be custom Vega cards because there's not any. And they said no, or not Vega, custom Radeon 7 cards because there's not. And they said no, but they did say that there will be custom Navi cards and that they're working on a toxic version, which is like their highest version of their AMD cards, and that's
water cooled,
yeah,
right?
Though, and it will be water cooled, so that's pretty exciting. If you're an AMD graphics card fan, I used to review those toxic cards, and they were awesome. So, yeah, like I said, Derek and I talk about this all the time, where it's like I get so excited for AMD graphics, and they just disappoint me.
Yeah,
and it's just like the same thing over and over and over again. So I really hope that they get this right. And again, I'm not looking for something to beat out a 2080 Ti, but if they can bring something to the table that performs good, isn't like a heater in my computer, and you know has that aggressive price point, and the drivers are there and all that kind of stuff too, I'll be happy with it. And I think that that's what they need right now. So. We shall see.
Yeah, no, I'm ready for something new in my box. So maybe it's this.
Yeah, yeah. But moving over to the NVIDIA side of things, there are rumors that MSI is going to launch a 10th anniversary edition of the RTX 2080 Ti Lightning card. We saw the RTX 2080 Ti Lightning Z card at CES. Crazy card. The Lightning series is the highest up in their product stack when it comes to graphics cards. The Lightning cards are also if you go back and you look at the Lightning cards, like they kind of break boundaries when it comes to bringing new tech to graphics cards. Like there's tech in some of the first Lightning cards that wasn't seen by mainstream cards for like a while. It's really awesome that one, these Lightning cards have been around for 10 years. It makes me feel old. And two, that they're going to bring out, hopefully this is like super special edition.
I wonder if it's going to be as a limited edition as, you know, some of their older stuff that they did.
Yeah, I would hope so. But the thing about the 2080 Ti, and that's what's kind of disappointing that I was thinking about this in my head, is that it is locked down. It's not super open. As far as like how far you can push it, it's going, you know, it's not.
Well, yeah. What else are you going to be able to do?
Yeah. And the Lightning Z already is kind of maxed out as far as that. I mean, you could put different tech on this. You could put like OLED screens, you know, you can do other stuff, but as far as like making it, you know, crazy overclocked and stuff like that, like this card, the power limit on this is locked on this card. So you can't go past a certain point.
Sure.
But it is exciting. Like I said, that would be kind of one of the big announcements at Computex. They're supposed to unveil it at Computex, so obviously next week we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. And a company that we don't get to see a lot of stuff from, but Colorful is also readying their iGame RTX 2080 Ti Kudan. We actually saw renders of this a few months ago. This card looks awesome as well.
I knew that card looked familiar, but then I also couldn't tell if I had just been thinking of an Azeroth Tai Chi board.
Yeah, kind of.
Because that's exactly what it reminds me of.
That sort of clockwork design on the front.
Very cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. And I believe I don't know if that's like that clockwork kind of shows the speed that the card's going or something on it.
Actually, I think it has like the years. It looks like 2009, 2010.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And it's their 10th anniversary for the top players.
Yeah.
It says.
But there's only 1,000 of these being made, which is, you know, I like the limited edition. Like people are like, oh, it's limited edition, but we've made 20,000. Like, that's not limited edition to me.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, there's only 1,000 of these being made. They look awesome. So that's another big thing to look forward to at Computex. So I'm pretty excited for those two. Wish I could get them. Probably won't ever see either of them. Moving on to CPU stuff. Last week, we talked about on the podcast, the MDS vulnerability, which was huge, which was another big vulnerability that Intel processors were they're vulnerable to these attacks. And one of the researchers, the research group, the VU Amsterdam, they said that Intel tried to bribe them to kind of downplay it or to wait longer. So basically, Intel does have a bounty system where if you find a bug or you find a security breach or something, there's bounties. And VU Amsterdam basically found this vulnerability and they agreed on a price and they agreed on a time where they would make it public. And then Intel came back and said, no. Well, you can't make it public yet. And then they had already, it's been since September when this was found out. So this is a long time.
Yeah, that's always a sensitive topic of like releasing things and giving the company enough time to address it and have something prepared. I don't know. I go back and forth a lot of times on this, but Intel's just had so many of these problems lately. The last thing it sounds like, in my opinion, they'd want to do is try and cover this up or downplay it.
Yeah. So, you know, VU Amsterdam was like, no, we have to put out this information. It's important. Intel was like, we'll double what we're paying you to not release it. And they said, no, we're going to release it. And that's why it became public when it did, because it would have been another 6 months before they wanted to make it public. And they said it's way too much time. I mean, you know, that's going on a year of it being out there and everything like that. So it's just like, as much as you, like I said, like I can go back and forth on it too, because like obviously you want Intel to have enough time to fix these problems and things like that. Yep. But this is just another bad PR thing for Intel. Obviously we had the security breaches of last year? Or was that the year before? I think it was late
2017, maybe.
Yeah, so we had all of that stuff, Meltdown Inspector, which was really bad PR on the security side. Then you have this, and then you have this whole like covering things up, and then you have obviously like 10 nanometer just not coming to consumers. AMD just already on 7 nanometer, you know, coming out. Like Intel is just,
they're taking hits.
Yeah.
Honestly,
and,
you know.
On the processor side of things, it's not massive, because people were talking like, oh, Intel's done, AMD, blah, blah, blah. And like people showed like the market share of Intel compared to like their market cap was like 281 billion or something. And AMD's was like 12 or something, you know.
Right.
But this is just more bad stuff. And it's just like, there isn't anything on the Intel side right now to get excited about. Like, I can't think. Maybe graphics.
I can't even.
Maybe graphics, but you're not going to see that till CES 2020 or 2020. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Just bad news once again for Intel.
Yeah. I just like you. Like, I'm so excited for AMD stuff now, because Intel just, I don't see anything exciting coming from that side, you know? Nope. So talking about AMD, we've all been wondering if it's been true, if we will be getting PCI Express Gen 4 on X570 motherboards. And it has been confirmed. There was a chipset diagram leaked. Not like, I wouldn't say this is official, but this is
about as close.
Yeah, this is about as close as you're going to get. I think this comes from like a motherboard manual. I don't know what this comes from.
It was, didn't it come from Asmedia? Or no, I'm sorry. This will be their
in-house design. Yeah, so this is their first in-house design. I don't know what this is actually from, but it, in any case, it does confirm PCI Express 4.0. So you will be getting PCI Express 4.0, and that was the big thing everybody wondered about. So again, AMD first to do that on the consumer side. But there's a lot of stuff about the chipset in our article, so definitely check that out.
I hope I'm just reading through this, and I'm really hoping that they can take advantage of the 2.5 gig on Ethernet. I'm just anticipating that, or 5 gig to just get us above that 1 gig bottleneck that we're sitting on, or at least I notice I'm sitting on all the time at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, we'll see a lot of that stuff speed up, I think, with just newer motherboards and stuff like that.
Sure.
I'm really excited for X570, like I said, and we should see a ton of X570 boards at Computex. I'm just super pumped for that. And two have already been leaked.
Maybe some from MSI. Yeah,
MSI. So they're the X570 Gaming Plus and the X570 Pro Carbon have been leaked. These boards are just, they look really awesome. The Pro Carbon is what you would expect. It is, kind of has like the fake carbon fiber on it and everything like that. A lot of these, both of these boards have fans on top of the chipset heatsink, and that makes me wonder how hot this chipset heatsink or the how
so it's almost a little worrisome.
Well, it's kind of worrisome, but they did say the TDP of this chipset is 3 times. It's instead of being 5 watts, it's 15 watts. So you're gonna see a lot of these designs with these fans, which I've never been a fan of. I've had boards where this fan is like the first thing that breaks on the board. But I do like the idea of, making that chipset heatsink larger to cover more of the board. As you can see on the carbon board, it covers almost the entire bottom of the board. They integrate two M.2 heatsinks into it. So it looks really cool there, kind of finish off the board that way. I do like that. It is kind of worrisome because it's like, you have, and these little fans are kind of loud, especially if you have your case open.
To get, efficient cooling or anything out of those fans, they've just got to spin so fast that they just end up making a lot of noise.
Yeah. So that's kind of something that's one of the actually first things I noticed. I was like, yeah, I could see it on the larger board, like on the carbon board, because that's like a higher end board. But then on the Gaming Plus, which is kind of like the middle of the road board, why is there a fan down there? But I guess, like I said, they need it. It must be needed if two of these boards have the fans on them.
And I was just thinking, well, why not like a thin finned heat sink? But you can't have a tall heat sink there because you're adding cards. Yeah. So
we'll, a fan it is, I guess. We'll see next week on all these new boards that are probably going to be announced or shown at Computex if they all have the fan down there. I'm assuming they are. Just looking at these two, like you would, I'm thinking that's what we're going to see. So
yeah, probably not just MSI doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Another board that we know exists because pictures of the box have been leaked is the ASRock X570 Tai Chi. These actually were posted to the ASRock Philippines Facebook group, which is where their factory is actually. So I assume these are somebody snuck a pic at the factory. So we will have an X570 Tai Chi, which kind of makes sense because that's, one of the series we always know from ASRock. So I'm excited for this board as well. Really can't tell much about the board by the box, other than it looks like it'll have RGB because there's RGB like around the thing, which also
it's got an HDMI port.
That's about it. You really can't tell much, but I get really excited for these boards because, like I said, it's like a whole new round of boards from all the big players. You know, kind of the boards you're gonna get, but there's these new technologies and new things that we're gonna see on X570 that weren't there on X470. So, and I like. I think with X572, we're going to get into a lot of parity with comparing an Intel board to an AMD board. They're going to be very, very similar. You know, with X-Force 70, we got even closer. But I think we're going to see they're going to be pretty much even, and even more X-570 stuff, because again, Intel's not going to have anything new until 2021, as far as, like, you know, really great performance. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be pretty boring on that side of things. So excited to see these. I'm sure we'll see the actual board, or hopefully we'll see the actual board at Computex. One big leak, and I don't know why I, you know, a lot of people commented that I put the word leak in a article about water cooling products.
Water cooling.
But apparently Corsair is launching their DIY water cooling products. These are for custom loops. You know, we know Corsair when it comes to cooling. We know their AIOs and things like that, but they've never had, you know, you could buy a Corsair water block or a Corsair GPU block or a Corsair radiator. But that is happening. It's supposed to, well, actually I got the details. They will be launching at Computex, and they will be a full line of products. So these were actually, these pictures that we got were from Micro Center, and these are on sale already there. So apparently Micro Center didn't get the memo that they shouldn't be put up for sale.
Do we know if they pulled them off the shelves or
anything? I have no clue. I was actually expecting, you know, we work with Corsair. I know when I put this up, I was like, I'm going to get a call or a message or an email. Yep. Didn't get anything. Maybe it's because a lot of those people are already in Taiwan. I don't know.
They just haven't seen it yet.
But this article was like our most shared article of the week. So I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they just, you know, it's been out, you know, people shared it. It was out there. So they just kind of let it go. But we will, you know, Corsair will be another player in the DIY water cooling market. And this all kind of makes sense because the guys from EK left EK to come to Corsair about 2 years ago, I believe. So this, we all saw this happening. You know, why is people from EK going to Corsair? Well, here's the reason. But to talk about the products, their CPU blocks, they'll have two, or at least that we know of, they're going to have two CPU blocks, an XC7 RGB and an XC9 RGB. The XC7 is made for Intel LGA115X and AMD AM4 sockets, whereas the XC9 is made for LGA2066 and AMD TR4, which is kind of nice because for TR4, you could only get like a water block that's specifically made for TR4. This is, I guess, a universal block, so it'll fit both of them, which is kind of cool. And then they have a XG7 RGB, which is a water block for the RTX 2080 Ti. Looking at the blocks, and we don't have any actual pictures of the blocks. We have pictures of what's on the box.
Box, yeah.
So I think they look good. I don't think they look bad by any means.
I think they look pretty good. Looking at, you know, these images, the block shape is kind of like that octagon that you see on their AIOs, with kind of those sides and then kind of the, I don't know, eight sides to them. I'm excited to see what they actually look like, get some better pictures of something that's not a box.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see performance, and I know some reviews will be launching when they're announced. So not from us, but we'll give you guys links if you guys want to check those out. And they also will have radiators. So there's two radiators. There's an XR5-420, which is a 420-millimeter radiator, and there's an XR7-480, which is a 480-millimeter radiator. So I assume 480 is pretty large. I assume they'll go down from there. So you should see a 360, a 280, a 240, maybe even a 120. Yep. Or 140. So it looks like they're going to have a full lineup. And I really like that. We've seen some companies get into this space and they only have like blocks. I like to see the full thing, right? You know,
yeah. I'm hoping maybe there's a pump involved somewhere.
Pump
in this line that we just haven't seen. Reservoir.
And especially with Corsair, when it's a lot of people, when they're building their first PC, they go the Corsair route when it comes to like an AIO. I would like to see them come out with a kit that has your pump, your tubing, your coolant, and a CPU block, or one that comes with a CPU and GPU, and of course the radiator and fans all together in a kit that has everything I need if I want to do my own water cooling build, right? So hopefully we'll see how this kind of plays out. Definitely getting announced next week. I know that for a fact. Stay tuned. Another thing to look forward to at Computex. And gaming news, not a whole lot. We've been talking about a lot of games here on the podcast, but nothing really exciting this week. But there is a free game available on Origin till May 28th, so you guys can definitely jump on it. It is The Sims 4, which I believe I've actually played.
Really?
Yeah, years ago.
I was going to say, when did Sims 4 come out?
A long time ago. Or maybe it have been Sims 3. It might have been Sims 3. That was a big one. I don't remember.
Looks like it launched in 2014.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but like you, Ryan, you have kids. Like, this is a cool game for them to play. That's pretty. At least I think it's like safe too. It's a fun game for kids and everything like that. But it's free. You just log on to Origin. It you should see a thing for it. If you don't, we have a link on our article about it, where you can go ahead and pick it up. Like I said, it's free game. You can't complain about it.
No, I'll add it to my Origin list. I will probably never download and play it, but
yeah.
I mean, I played the first Sims back like when it first came out. My parents got it for me for my birthday or something, and I played a ton of that, but I haven't touched a Sims game since. So
yeah, I
a free game's a free game though.
I believe I played Sims 3. I could be wrong about that. I forget which one it was. But yeah, like I said, it's a free game. Go ahead and check it out on Origin. And it's good to see like a more well-known title be part of their on the house program. Because they've been pretty crappy on that side of things. Yep. Even though it's not like a game that we want to play, it's more well-known. So coming up next week, I will be reviewing the WD Black SN750. This is the one with the heatsink, and I have to say, after actually using it or like installing it, this is one of the sexiest.
And it looks so awesome.
M.2s, like, wait until you see the pictures from the review. Like, even the pictures on their website don't do it justice. Like, this thing is so sexy. It's like if I was to have to buy an M.2, this would be the one that I'm.
That's gonna be the one.
Yeah.
Even over like an RGB.
Yeah, because those don't. I like the idea of RGB, but it just doesn't match. It just like doesn't go with your build. Yep. I feel this goes so much more with your build, and can match so much more, like many more builds.
Well, and it's black, but it does have those ridges. They have that kind of polished look on top of them, so it's going to reflect any RGB you've got going on anyways.
Yeah, and I think that if you do an RGB M.2, it takes away from like your graphics card or whatever else. This is just awesome. It's super high performance as well. You'll definitely see that in the review, so definitely stay tuned for that next week. And we may have some other stuff, but this is the one that I know I'm going to have done for next week, because we do have Computex next week, and that's just a lot of news, and we want to concentrate on a lot of that. So but we may have some more stuff for you guys next week. And that kind of brings us to the end of the podcast here. And, we always talk about if we did anything cool, saw any movies, if we checked out anything, tech or nerd related. Have you done anything like that?
Man, I've been so busy. This is probably the longest I've sat down at my computer for probably what feels like 2 weeks. But I did get a pretty cool tool in at work that I'm pretty excited to implement. It's called a Meeting Owl. And we do a lot of... I just added it to the notes earlier tonight. Nice. So you probably haven't even had a chance to see it. But it takes a whole new look at video conferencing. So think of your Skype for Business, your WebExes, things like that. And it provides a 360-degree view of the room. It's a camera, microphone, and speakers all built into one.
Nice.
And it can provide a 360-degree view of the room. So you sit this in the middle of your conference table, and then whoever's connecting into that digital meeting sees a whole view of the room. And whoever the active speaker is, there's another camera view down below the 360 view, and it will kind of snap to them so that it keeps the focus on them. And if you happen to get a couple people conversing, It'll split that lower image into two images and show both of them talking. It's really pretty awesome. I haven't spent a ton of time with it, and it's much more affordable than some of the other
products I've used in the past. For like a conferencing system, whatever. I mean, $800. What does this connect? Just like USB to your?
Yeah, and that's a great thing about it. It's compatible with pretty much anything that'll take a webcam because it does all the processing inside the unit.
Yeah,
and it just outputs. You know, you've got a USB cable that plugs into it, and it outputs as a webcam image. Nice. So you give it to anything. You could, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
So I know it's not really, you know, PC tech or a new video card cool or anything like that, but it's cool tech.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, these big companies like Cisco and some of the other ones, I mean, they kind of just like killed businesses on this type of stuff, and there hasn't been somebody to come in and be
absolutely.
Like, you know, this thing, like I said, it's $800. It'd be great for startups, great for people that don't have the budget to really kind of do that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, some of the larger, you know, I mean, I've seen installations and worked on them, some Cisco installations like that, you know, $10,000-$20,000 is not uncommon at all for something like that. And then even a smaller 360 camera solution I've used in the past, $5,000 and $6,000. So when you can tell someone they can spend $800 and get very similar performance, it's a pretty awesome deal.
That's really cool. We don't really have any meetings, but if we did, it'd be something I'd be interested to check out. I unfortunately haven't really done much. I've been working on reviews and getting ready for Computex stuff and doing back end website stuff. So nothing. And I haven't really watched anything. It's been nice here. So like I've been eating lunch and dinner outside, you know, on my deck. Yeah. I got a new grill.
Yeah. And you're not a Game of Thrones guy.
No Game of Thrones. Nothing. I really haven't even
any movies or anything.
Nothing. Like literally I sit on my deck. I listen to like a hockey podcast that I listen to and I play Apex and that's it. So yeah.
Well, you say you do play Apex.
I do play Apex, and I work on all the content for the site. So I mean, that's just
my, you do. That's a lot.
Yeah, so that's all my stuff. So guys, we will end things here. As I always say, we have our full list of show notes on the page. So anything that we talked about, you can go ahead and click through and get even more information. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or website or whatever it may be, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.